You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What a weekend of ups and downs for the Sacramento Kings. A roller coaster with peaks and valleys, but it's not over yet. The Texas Triangle concludes tonight as the Sacramento Kings take on the Houston Rockets in Houston. The Rockets are a team that the Kings have only beaten once in the last three seasons. Going to be a tough one tonight, second night of a back-to-back, but as of today, Kings are feeling pretty good after what they were able to do in Dallas. Certainly feeling a lot better than how we were feeling on Friday night with the Kings' meltdown in San Antonio. We'll talk about it all right here for you on the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season, all off season. From January through December, we have daily Kings coverage for you. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm a Sacramento sports radio host and have covered and reported on the Sacramento Kings for the last 5 years, but I've been a diehard Kings fan growing up and living in Sacramento since the age of six. And I have to apologize if you listen frequently and think that I sound a little bit different. Voice is a little bit raspy, dealing with some congestion, was sick over the weekend, actually sick on Friday as well. That's why you did not get a podcast that day. I apologize for that, but I'm battling through it, and I'm here because I couldn't miss another day of Locked On Kings. I had to discuss everything that took place this weekend because, man, was it a wild and crazy emotional weekend for a lot of fans, certainly for the players and the team themselves, and it was a fun but crazy weekend to cover the Kings as a member of the Sacramento media. We'll talk about this meltdown in San Antonio first and foremost, talk about the bounce back in Dallas last night, briefly preview this Rockets game, and get that all in for you on today's episode. So without any further ado, let's jump in, and we'll start with the bad. Kings fall to the San Antonio Spurs, 105 to 104 in overtime, but the Kings led in this game 98 to 89 with a minute and 43 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. Yes, the Kings only scored 6 points in the final 6 minutes and 43 seconds of this game. That includes the 5 minutes of overtime. Essentially, it was a complete and utter Sacramento meltdown. Offensively, way too much isolation ball. Ball movement was terrible. Four guys standing around while one guy, particularly Harrison Barnes or Buddy Hield, tried to get a good look or tried to get a shot up, and the Kings just could not. Not only could they not score, they just could not get any kind of separation, and they made life easy for San Antonio. Sacramento was moving well, cutting to the rim, off-ball screens throughout this entire contest. The Sacramento Kings were fluent, working their ball, working their way around the perimeter, and that offense came to a screeching halt towards the end as soon as the Spurs made their comeback and started putting some pressure on the Sacramento Kings. Offensively, the Kings, and they've done this a handful of times this season, they've also done this a lot over the last decade or so, they go away from what's been working and fall into the trap that is isolation basketball. And ISO ball, it's also called hero ball, has won a lot of games for a lot of amazing players over the years, but the Kings, certainly missing De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley right now, aren't necessarily in a position to play ISO ball, and even fully healthy are not necessarily in a position to play good ISO ball. They're just not at that level. They rely on a team. They rely on movement. They rely on fluidity and assists and good passes in order to be successful, especially in half-court offensive sets. They completely went away from that, and that's what resulted in them scoring only 6 points in the final 6 minutes and 43 seconds of this contest. But that's kind of small in comparison to the absolute collapse defensively that the Kings had to allow this game to even get to overtime. The Kings are up by 3 points. The Spurs, coming out of a timeout, need a three-pointer to tie. A two-pointer does not hurt you. Worst-case scenario is they hit a two, you go back to the other end, and you're shooting free throws. And yet, the Kings give up a wide-open Marco Pelinelli three. More importantly, Buddy Hield gives up a wide open Marco Bellinelli three. These are the lapses in judgment that have plagued the Kings for so long. We know Buddy Hield is not strong on the defensive end of the floor, and this was just another example of that. And this is where that youth element of this team, or that the youth not necessarily in age, but youth in the sense of lack of experience, right? This team has not been in these big moments consistently. They certainly haven't been in the playoffs for a long period of time, so they haven't learned these lessons. And you see Buddy Hield get drawn in by DeMar DeRozan, who starts working his way to the rim. Again, a two-pointer or a layup doesn't hurt you. Even if it's a quick bucket, it doesn't hurt you that much. But Buddy Hield gets caught watching DeMar DeRozan attacking the rim, completely takes his eyes off, and you're always supposed to have one eye on on the guy you're defending, completely takes his eyes off Marco Bellinelli, who comes off a curl wide open for a three. Of course he hits it. Marco Bellinelli spent not even a full season with the Sacramento Kings, if you remember, and struggled to hit anything. But of course it's Bellinelli who hits the game-tying three-pointer to send this game to OT. And then of course we knew what happened after that. Once again, Kings lose in overtime, 105 to 104. And that's with the San Antonio Spurs hitting just one field goal in overtime, which I don't know if that's an NBA record or not. I should probably check that because that's pretty absurd. The San Antonio Spurs did everything to lose this game as well. Even though they made that triumphant comeback and had a couple of heroic moments, they did not look good either. They were not strong. They were not polished. They gave the Kings this game four or five separate times, and the Kings didn't do anything with it. I mean, a perfect example I can give is in regulation still in the fourth quarter, Buddy Hield fouled Jamal Murray, or was it Patty Mills? I apologize. Buddy Hield fouled a San Antonio Spurs three-point shooter. I can't remember which one it was. And then he stepped to the line and missed two out of three free throws towards the end for the Kings to keep hold of their lead. When the Spurs are doing things like that, especially on their home floor, you have to take advantage. And the Kings just simply did not. Now, credit to the Spurs defense. They did what they needed to do. They held strong, and they took what the offense gave them, which was basically everything. The Kings, like I said, refused to move and cut off the ball. It was just a lot of isolation sets, and the Spurs did what they needed to do, lock down the guy that had the ball in his hands and just secure the rebound. And they did that, and they ended up coming back and winning this game. That, of course, sparked another meltdown, this one from Sacramento Kings fans. And I'm not going to spend too much time on this. I just want to make a point really quick because I know there are some fans listening that are active on social media. And maybe if you're listening, you were one of the many people. It wasn't just one or two people. It was many that I saw on social media just saying they're done with the team. They're tired of it. They're tired of the heartbreaking losses. This is not the worst loss that the Sacramento Kings have suffered during this entire drought, this playoff drought, this 13-plus years of no postseason basketball for the Sacramento Kings. This is not the worst loss out of that bunch. And yet, this is the loss that I saw that really broke the camel's back for a lot of Kings fans. Now, I know it was an immediate reaction, an immediate anger, frustration at the way the Kings lost, blowing that big lead, shooting themselves in the foot, completely melting down. It was a meltdown for the Kings in San Antonio on the floor, and then a meltdown for Kings fans on social media. And all I want to say is this: remember the context, remember what the Kings are going through right now, and even if they are underachieving by your and my standards heading into this season, we all, many of us, had playoff hopes and playoff aspirations. This Kings squad going into the season, all they talked about during media day was that playoffs are the goal and playoffs are what they want to do this year, and that's been the focus from the beginning. When Vlade hired Luke Walton, it was about taking this team to the next level and reaching the postseason. It's all been centered around the playoffs heading into this year, but things have changed since then. Now, playoffs are still the goal, and playoffs are still a reality for this Kings team, and they are very lucky to be able to say that because, context, the Kings have been without two of their three best players. Now, Marvin Bagley, who injured himself in literally the first game of the season in Phoenix, might be returning tonight, might be playing his first game against the Rockets in Houston. If not, then hopefully the return back to Sacramento when the Kings host the Oklahoma City Thunder on Wednesday. We'll have to wait and see. But as soon as De'Aaron Fox went down, remember, I said I thought this team's playoff hopes and playoff dreams were done, and yet somehow they've managed to stick around. They actually have a close to 500 record without De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley combined. That's absurd given the circumstances. This Kings team started 0-5. They were in the cellar of the Western Conference immediately. Now they're in a conversation for the 8th seed without two of their three best players. They might be underachieving for our hopes and dreams going into this season, but right now they are overachieving, even with losses like what they suffered in San Antonio. So again, keep context in mind and appreciate what the Sacramento Kings are going through and the hurdles that they've jumped and the walls that they've busted through already this season based off of the struggles and the deck that has been stacked against them time and time again. No, you should not take any moral victories whatsoever from that San Antonio Spurs loss. But for goodness sake, don't feed into and buy into the end of the world, fire everybody, everything sucks in Sacramento narrative that after every single Kings loss, there are going to be more bad losses in the future. There are also going to be more great wins in the future, like what the Kings got last night in Dallas. Look, the Kings are on the right track, and they have been on the right track for the last three seasons. They have a young core. They have a lot of sensational talent. They're dealing with injury issues, but that does not define them as a squad, and they are still in the playoff picture as of right now for this season. That's truly all that matters. If you're a Spotify listener, use Spotify Wrapped to show us your top Locked On podcasts for the year. Take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Live and tag me at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, and I will share it and retweet it. I want to take the time right now to thank one of the great sponsors of the Locked On Podcast Network, Audible. It is that time of the year when everyone is traveling or running around getting thoughtful gifts for the people you care about. Think about giving yourself the gift of an Audible membership. And now is the best time to do it with a special offer of 53% off your first 3 months. Access is an unbeatable selection of audiobooks, including bestsellers, motivation, mysteries, thrillers, memoirs, and more. You can choose three titles every month, one audiobook and two exclusive Audible originals that you can't hear anywhere else. Listen on any device, anytime, anywhere with the Audible app. It is great while commuting, at the gym, or during your holiday travels. It also bridges the time between one Locked On Kings episode and the next. You can once again listen on any device at any time. With Audible, you'll also enjoy easy audiobook exchanges and your own audiobook library to keep forever, even if you cancel. On my phone right now, I have 48 different audiobooks. I'm just about to finish my 48th, and I'm ready to pick my 49th and get going. Right now, for a limited time, you can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's a steal of a deal. That's more than half off of the regular price. Give yourself the gift of listening. For more, go to audible.com/lockedonNBA. That's audible.com/lockedonNBA. Again, right now, for a limited time, you can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's more than half off of the regular price. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA or text LockedOnNBA to 500-500. I use Audible almost every single day on my commutes to and from work when I'm not listening to podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. It is an amazing service that I've had for the last 4 years. I highly recommend it to you Locked On Kings listeners. So here's the deal with athletes, and I know many of you are athletes yourself, so you understand this. When you suffer a bad loss, when you are embarrassed in your sport, all you want to do is get out there and play again so that you can prove that that embarrassment or that mistake does not define you. And every single one of the Sacramento Kings left San Antonio chomping at the bit to get back on the floor and take on any team. It did not matter because they were hungry to prove that that embarrassing meltdown in San Antonio does not define them as a team. And you could see that in the way that they played right out of the gate against the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks, who, by the way, going into this game, were second in the Western Conference behind the Los Angeles Lakers, had only 6 losses on the season. They were playing extremely well. And before we dive in, I got to say this about the Mavericks, and full credit to Luka Doncic, full credit to Kristaps Porzingis, full credit to Hardaway Jr., and of course, head coach Rick Carlisle. The Mavericks are a lot better team than I expected going into this season. I thought they could be good. I did not expect them to be this good. I didn't like the depth or lack of depth of this squad, and that still is an issue that I think this team will face when they try to make a potentially deep playoff run this year. But still, full credit to the Dallas Mavericks. They have been a fantastic story in the NBA so far. They, of course, have one of the young, exciting stars in the NBA right now in Luka Doncic. And it's just, as a basketball fan, you have to love and appreciate what they've been doing over there. Again, that being said, though, the Kings were not afraid to take on any team because they were hungry to prove that that loss in San Antonio did not define them as a squad. They took the floor with a renewed vigor, a renewed energy, and I wish I could have been a fly on the wall just to hear what Luke Walton and the Kings coaching staff and maybe even the players themselves had to say to one another in the locker room before this game started. But whatever they said, it worked, because the Kings didn't allow the Dallas Mavericks to lead by a single point during this entire game. The Kings led from start to finish. They built even a 24-point lead at one point. Now, unfortunately, they had to use almost all of those 24 points in order to win this game. They did get the victory, of course, 110-106, but having a 24-point lead in the second half and then only winning by four, not exactly the best way to close out that game. Now, basketball is a game of runs, so you knew the Dallas Mavericks at some point were going to make a run. You just don't want the run and the swing to be as significant as 20 points in a single half. But hey, that's basketball. That's what happens. And more importantly, what I saw from the Sacramento Kings is a direct lesson learned. And Luke Walton has talked a lot about lessons this season. Even after wins, he takes to the podium in Sacramento and speaks to the media. And one of the first things he says is that we are excited, we're happy to win, but we want to learn lessons from this game that we can apply to future games to help us win more and to become a better team. Luke Walton is always encouraging this Kings team to learn from everything, the good and the bad. And regardless of if it was an A-plus lesson or not, an A-plus performance or not, the Sacramento Kings learned from the San Antonio meltdown how to close out and win a game against a better team in the Dallas Mavericks. Again, it was not perfect or fluid by any means. They blew a pretty significant lead and allowed the Dallas Mavericks to come back and have a chance to win, but they still found a way to close it out against the second best team of the West on the road, once again, missing two of their three best players. Here's something that's fun to say. The Sacramento Kings had the best European player in this game last night, Nemanja Bjelica. 30 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists for Bjelica. He was the reason why the Kings were able to build that big lead. And without Bjelica, of course, this Kings team is not winning this game. You need players to step up when you're missing stars, and Bjelica has done that a number of times this season, never more so than what he did last night. That matches his career high of 30 points in a single game. How about this for a stat? And this is something that I'm quite proud of as someone who is a fan of the Sacramento Kings and who supports the Sacramento Kings. And of course, we know that the Kings had a chance to take Luka Doncic, elected not to, and took Marvin Bagley. Luka Doncic is now 0-4 against the Kings. The Kings are the only team in the Western Conference that Luka Doncic hasn't beaten in his career. 4 meetings with the Kings, 3 last season, 1 this season. The Kings have won each and every single one, and 2 of them have been without Marvin Bagley. Now, 1 of them has been without De'Aaron Fox. That's a pretty significant achievement for this Kings squad, especially with Luka Doncic playing on an MVP Michael Jordan, LeBron James caliber level. That's what he's doing right now. Statistically, Luka Doncic has been ridiculous. In my opinion, he's the MVP of the league as of right now. Now, things could change, but based off of how the Dallas Mavericks have been performing, how he's been performing as an individual in just his second season at 20 years old, as of right now, Luka Doncic is absolutely the MVP, and yet he has not beaten the Sacramento Kings once in his career. Backtracking a little bit to the San Antonio Spurs game, I apologize because I missed this in my rundown, but I want to make sure to get it in. I brought up Nemanja Bjelica's great game in Dallas. I have to bring up Rashawn Holmes' great game against the San Antonio Spurs. How many times have I brought up those two names in a positive conversation on this Locked On Kings podcast so far this season? I'm convinced, without Rashawn Holmes and without Nemanja Bjelica, without those two players, the Sacramento Kings might have maybe 5 wins maximum this year. That's how big those two guys have been. They have stepped up massively with De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley out. And Rashawn Holmes put up a 13-point, 14-rebound, 5-assist, 3-steal, and 2-block performance in the loss in San Antonio. Now, he also had a pretty good game against the Dallas Mavericks to go along with his buddy in the front court, Nemanja Bjelica. He put up 12 points, also had 9 rebounds, a steal, and a block in that win in Dallas. So those two continue to be huge. And again, I wanted to make sure I got that stat line in so he gets appreciation here on this podcast. He's been getting a lot of that as of late. Once again, it wasn't an A-plus performance for the Sacramento Kings, but they show immediate growth after the hard loss in San Antonio by gritting out a victory against the Dallas Mavericks in Dallas. And if these two games haven't proven this fact, I don't know what will, but boy, oh boy, do the Kings desperately need De'Aaron Fox. I'm not saying that it's a guaranteed win in San Antonio with Fox there. I'm not saying it would be a guaranteed win in Boston when the Kings lost to the Celtics by 1 point with De'Aaron Fox there, because basketball's weird like that. Things change. You just can't make definitive statements like that. But the issues that the Kings have been having when they're giving up these big leads or they're trying to close out games is that they get into too many isolation-heavy sets and they struggle in half-court offense. De'Aaron Fox will provide an immediate help to that and will fix that, not completely, but will certainly make things a lot better with his play. And that's been made blatantly obvious. The lack of De'Aaron Fox has been felt significantly in those moments, maybe more than anything else. So I can't wait for De'Aaron Fox to get back and be able to help this team in that area amongst many, many others. So the Kings wrap up the Texas Triangle tonight with a meeting with the Houston Rockets, who are right on Dallas's heels in the third spot in the Western Conference. The Houston Rockets, a very, very talented team and a team that the Kings have struggled mightily against over these last three seasons. Really longer than that, but I just want to focus on these last three, where the Kings have won just once, and that was the 2017-2018 season, literally the final game of that year, closing night in Sacramento, when the Kings beat a Rockets team that was resting a handful of their players, getting ready for a playoff run. So not the most significant of wins there. Other than that, it has been all Rockets throughout these last three seasons, most of these games being comfortable blowout wins for Houston. And I'll be honest with you, I know I'm a Kings optimist. I have very, very, very low expectations for tonight. Of course, I want the Kings to compete. I would love to see them at least get this game down to the wire, even if it results in a loss, but I do not expect good things from the Kings tonight in Sacramento. One thing I'm interested in seeing, though, is how the Kings fare after playing an 8-man rotation last night in Dallas. Now, I give full credit to Luke Walton not worrying about the second night of a back-to-back. He knew that the Kings needed to win this game in Dallas and could win this game in Dallas, and he wanted the team to bounce back and win just as much as the players did after that San Antonio loss. So he plays only an 8-man rotation, and that means pretty significant minutes for everybody, which can have an effect on the second night of a back-to-back. So I'm interested to see if that 8-man rotation carries into tonight, if the Kings go back to a 10 or maybe even 11-man rotation at times to lighten up the minutes load. We'll see how many minutes the starters play. I'm interested to see how many minutes Bogey and Corey Joseph play. Both of them are banged up right now. Bogey played 28 minutes in Dallas last night. Joseph played 29. Also is Marvin Bagley playing in this game. He was listed as questionable for a while and then doubtful, ended up not playing in the Dallas game, has been cleared to play, really was cleared to play before the San Antonio game, although it's no surprise to anybody that he didn't play in that game as well. This is his last chance to get some time on the floor during this road trip, but what I've heard and what I understand and what I honestly believe is that Bagley will not play in this game and will make his return against Oklahoma City in Sacramento later on in this week. But we'll have to wait and see. Again, my thought, I don't think the Kings have a chance of winning this game here tonight, but I want to still see them be competitive. If they are competitive, that's a win for me. But this team is on a high right now, loaded with competitors who are going to want to try and make it 2 in a row and get the two most unlikely wins of this road trip back to back. Who knows? Maybe they can get the job done. All we can do is sit and watch and enjoy. I hope that you have enjoyed today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. We talked about a lot of stuff. Sorry once again about my voice, about the raspiness. just trying to get over the sickness and get over this cold and get back to normal for you. But it's been a lot of fun watching the Kings over this weekend, even with the struggles in San Antonio. Had a lot of great interactions with Kings fans, and I want those interactions with you. Please reach out to me on Twitter, at MattGeorgeKHDK. Either tweet me or DM me, or you can find me via email. And a lot of you have been emailing me. I certainly appreciate that. Even with negative reactions after losses, I always will read them and try to respond. You can reach me on email, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com at any time. Please do that. I would love to talk with you more there. We will be back tomorrow for a recap of this Kings and Houston Rockets game, and we'll get ready for the Kings to return home. So I look forward to you joining me for that. Until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.